He is invested in an authoritarian character. So I don't know. We can only hope, really.
Well, we want to have you back on to talk about your novel, The City Always Wins. Omar Robert Hamilton is film director, and this is his premiere book. He'll be speaking tonight at McNally Jackson in Soho on Prince Street at what time?
At
7 o'clock. That is the end of Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report, at least for today. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdino, Sam Alkoff, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Hani Massoud, Trina Ndura, Andre Lewis. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez for another edition of Democracy Now!
Good morning. It's 7:59, and coming up next, it's More Talk Radio with Cecil and Celeste. They will have organizers from Good in the Hood on the program to talk about the community celebration now in its 25th year. That's coming up next on KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds an open meeting concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Program Advisory Committee meets the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032. 3-2 to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The events committee meets the third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
Good morning. Today is June 19th, 2017, and you are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO. If you're listening in Portland, it's 90.7. In Hood River, it's 91.9, 104.3 in Corvallis, and KBOO.FM on the World Wide Web. This is Cecil Prescott, and this morning we're going to speak about community. What are things that build communities and some exciting community events that are happening this week? And our first guest is, there we go. Thank you, great producer. As I was looking for my paper, he mentioned. Good morning, Marsha Peoples. Jack, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am doing well. And today is actually June 19th, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So I was sharing with someone a few minutes ago. Before I moved here to Oregon, I had no idea. I had never heard of Juneteenth and the importance of this day. Could you explain to our listeners what is Juneteenth and why it is important?
Well, in all truth, I was just with you and not knowing what it is in my younger days, but I know that my mom would Clara Peoples, who has been recognized as the mother of Juneteenth, Oregon. And as we were growing up, then I realized what the celebration was. It's the actual, it started in Texas, Juneteenth, but it's the emancipation of from slavery that actually happened on this day, opposed to the July 4th celebration. This is the day that slaves were actually emancipated.
Yes, because although the Civil War was going on and the southern states had been defeated, evidently communities in Texas had not been informed that emancipation had occurred. And so as you shared with us, this day was the day when it was publicly proclaimed in Texas, and that's a reason why it's a celebration. Now, Marsha, yeah, you mentioned your mother, Clara Peoples, who is an icon in our community. Tell us a little bit about her and why she wanted to promote this day here in Portland.
Well, she came here in like the 40s to work on the shipyard, and that's where she met my dad. And it was there in the shipyard that she realized that no one celebrates it in Oregon. So she, on a very small scale, started then the celebration. And in the interim, as she did that, she went on to do community care. She was a big community advocate, and community care was a food program that she started. So from there, she had interest, you know, in the food program, and then Juneteenth, you know, which is only once a year. And as in my later years, I became more involved. I wasn't so involved at all in my young years, but in my later years, I became involved, and that's when she brought in the parades and the festival, and, you know, it slowly grew. It hasn't grown a lot, but it slowly grew from that point. But she started the celebration, I want to say it was 1945.
Wow. That's amazing. And as you were growing up and you saw your mom doing all this work in the community, were there at times you asked her, "Mom, why are you doing this?"
No, we kind of saw and heard why she was doing it, because she would have interviews on the news. She became part of Model Cities, and, you know, she's very boisterous on why she does these things in the community, and it was all to help people. You know, she didn't want to see children hungry. For the Juneteenth celebration, it was about awareness. So we pretty much knew, and growing up, because we all, and then she was in Ebony Magazine, 1969, I think it was, and they did a big spread. So, you know, we pretty much knew, because we were around and we listened, and we also had to volunteer.
That's what I thought. You had to volunteer.
It was my first. We were volunteering. I was, picking the second crop, you know, for the food program, helping do whatever she were told to do for, you know, Juneteenth, and helping setting it up. And I would do a lot of her paperwork and that kind of thing. So, yeah, it wasn't really a choice with the whole family.
Wow. We're speaking with Marsha Peoples Jack, who is telling us or reminding us of the importance of Juneteenth, and also giving us a little history here in Portland about how that celebration came to be celebrated from the initiative of her mother, Clara Peoples.
One of the things, and good morning, this is Celeste here with Cecil. One of the
good
things
morning.
That I find really fascinating is how Juneteenth celebrations have spread. Now, I grew up back east in the Midwest, and I had heard of it, but it was not a big celebration. It wasn't actually until I was spending a lot of time in Anchorage, Alaska, that I actually went to my first very large Juneteenth celebration, and I was
wow.
surprised. Yes, and it was large in Anchorage. Yes.
Amazing.
It was very, very large. And when I say large, I would say minimally there were hundreds of people there. The thing, though, that fascinated me was the fact that you can understand the southern migration up to Oregon, but from Texas, and from Texas, maybe you can see it to some parts of the Midwest. But I was really fascinated by the fact that the tradition had such strong roots that far north. Now, in terms of Oregon's place, though, it'd be kind of helpful to kind of connect, and I know you were talking about it earlier with Cecil, connect a little bit more about that whole southern consciousness and the way that it's a really strong community celebration of identity that has kind of set Portland apart in the Pacific Northwest as celebrating Juneteenth. Anything you can add to that?
Well, you know, when she started doing it in Portland, you know, there was, Portland doesn't have a large, you know, African-American population.
Right.
And her deal on bringing Juneteenth and making it each year, she was so dedicated to making each year, this, you know, just working with what she had to pull it together and what sponsors she had. She wanted to just unite communities, not just, you know, the African-American communities, but all the communities. And so that's why in Portland, I think, you know, she kept her efforts, nothing held her back in, you know, keeping this going and each year hoping that it'd be more awareness and make it known as, you know, just a Freedom Day, Emancipation, recognize, you know, what happened in Texas, and just totally an awareness for everyone. And the way the North Northeast community has changed at this last the one we have it had on Saturday, it is a more diverse attendance, you know, at the festival that was at Legacy Emmanuel Field that they let us use.
I had a chance to attend that and meet with a lot of folks who did Union Cavalry reenactment, horse rides for the kids, some very particularly southern food. And so I really want to thank you so much for keeping this tradition alive and showing the richness that Portland and Oregon does have, that's been a contribution of the Black population, how that's made this area as rich as it has. So thank you so much for keeping the tradition alive, and I appreciate the hard work, and I have lots of respect and hope that you are bringing your kids into that same tradition of volunteering.
Well, you know, actually, my mom's granddaughter is now the director and spearheading it, along with my other daughter and all my grandkids and my husband and our whole family is involved. You know, we had to kind of, after mom passed in 2015, you know, we kind of took it on and piecing it together. And, you know, we want to make it as successful as she has had it, you know, by bringing in the, like you said, the soldiers and the, because there's some of the soldiers here in Portland.
Yes.
You know, and bring in other things that will make it larger and larger and larger. We wanted a band this year for the parade. Last year we had the one time, I forgot what they're called, the one time around band. They always play at the Rose Festival, which was great. And so, you know, we want to just make it very entertaining, very knowledgeable. We have a booth there with all the history and, you know, a bit about my mom, and then the history of the leaders here in Portland, or Oregon, actually, that have made a difference, you know, as time has gone on, you know, starting when a lot of African Americans came into Oregon. So we try to do all that and just make it a enjoyable weekend for everybody.
Well, thank you so much, and we're looking forward to our next Juneteenth next year.
Great. And it'll be June 16th.
2018.
Right.
Thank you so much, Marsha. Have a blessed day.
Yes.
You as well. Thank you.
Speaking of activities, T, I'm going to make a transition here.
I'm going to let you handle this because you're doing good.
Okay. And communities. I was speaking with our next guest, Avery Penny, who is with Good in the Hood.
Another rich tradition.
Yes. And tell us something about that.
Well, again, my name is Avery Penny, and Good in the Hood is a multicultural music arts food festival. We're celebrating 25 years of keeping the community united. It's the largest multicultural festival in the Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
It runs June 23rd through the 27th of this year. There's a lot of events going on this weekend. We have our kickoff party on Friday at Lillis Albina Park, which is located off of Flint and Russell, and it starts at 5 p.m. It's amazing because there will be, you know, food, entertainment. Andy Stokes Band, they're making their first album that particular evening.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have all the sponsors there, all the vendors there, and it's open, free concert to the public. So please come on down and share and have a good time with that.
Get your blankets and lawn chairs and
that's
come on
right
down.
Exactly. Now, the Good in the Hood, our mission statement is to value and celebrate diversity through entertainment and food while connecting people with resources and experiences with strengths and unity within the community. The organization was founded in 1992, and the purpose is to be a creative medium by Portland resident businesses and organizations by engaging in food, entertainment, and while connecting with resources throughout the community. This year, you know, last year we gave away 5 scholarships from the nonprofit agency, and hopefully this year we'll double that scholarship contribution, and it's through the Jordan Wing Initiative Program. So that's another good thing about the Good in the Hood.
Yes. Tell us something about how you became involved in Good in the Hood.
Well, being from Portland, growing up in Portland, and ex-military and coming back to Portland, Mr. Paul Knowles, who was the founder of the Good in the Hood, mm-hmm. you know, he's one of my closest friends of my father.
Yes.
And Geneva, who was my first barber here in Portland when I was growing up. And I always attended the event. And then when I left and came back, shortly after that, my brother, you know, became president of the Good in the Hood. And I thought it was a good thing for me to give back to the community, you know, being from the community,
right.
or being from the hood. Let's say being from the hood, where it's all good.
Yes.
And that's how I became a part of it. Last year, you know, running the food vendor section, which this year, last year, when back up, we had about maybe 7 vendors. This year, we'll have over 25 to 30 vendors.
Food vendors,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And one reason why I wanted to take that over, because it is multicultural.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out and got multicultural vendors to sign up
right.
of all ethnic backgrounds.
Okay, you know? So people have a chance to really have a sampling of some really good food from all around
Correct.
The world.
Not just barbecue, but
not just barbecue,
but all different ethnics, you know, because there's going to be all kind of ethnic backgrounds here.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of the things that I think is really important when we talk about celebrating Good in the Hood. Because starting back in some 25 years ago, we're looking at what was celebrating the goodness, the richness. We just finished talking about the Juneteenth celebration.
Yes.
We're talking about the richness that had developed in those neighborhoods and the contributions that were made by American blacks, African Americans, and folks who had come to that area and kind of settled in and brought a new wave of energy and creativity.
Yes.
And so I moved here in the late 80s, and there was a battle to keep the positive in the front of people's minds.
Yes.
You know, people had associated it with governmental neglect, and there was a need to show that people had established well-maintained neighborhoods, thriving businesses, parks that were lively where kids could play, and not everything was a problem like you might see in the news.
Correct.
And so I remember seeing music and the parade, and mm-hmm. Having folks who lived here pointed out to me with quite a bit of source of pride, and ribbing some of their friends from Seattle as if to say, see, we got it going on down
right,
here.
Right,
yeah.
Right, exactly. Well, like I said before, being from Portland and growing up here in Portland initially, I was part of that. I was, you know, used to go to all the parks and
mm-hmm.
The celebrations that the elderly people would put on, and where there was food, there was music, there was entertainment.
There was checkers playing.
Yes, that's right. And there was, you know, a sense of pride in the community here in Portland.
So, yeah, I want you to emphasize that because it might be hard for people today, or newer residents, understand the origins of that. And this is before all the gentrification
yes.
came. And why was it the origins? You talk of Mr. Paul and Miss Geneva. Why did people like them think it was important to establish a festival like this?
I think personally, you had a lot of African Americans that had businesses here in Portland when I was growing up. And the goal was to keep the community together by engaging and bringing people together and celebrate happiness, fun, and just have a good time. And with that first year, as you can see, we're in our 25th year right now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we've done some positive things for the community, good in the hood. It's all good in the hood.
It's all good
and
in
it's
the
always
hood.
Been all good in the hood. You know, you can take a person out of the hood, but you can never take the person from the hood, if you know what I'm saying.
I hear you.
You know, if you grew up in Portland and you've been associated with the good in the hood, you're always going to come back if you've had a good time to go to a celebration like this also.
And I think, you know, you've spoken about 25 years.
Yes.
And the neighborhoods have changed since then.
Correct.
But there's a sense that people, correct me if I'm wrong, despite or in spite of where they may be living now, they always want to come back
correct.
To the
yeah.
hood.
Those deep roots.
Yeah, there has been some major changes, you know, because, you know, like, again, going back to my earlier days growing up here in Portland, Northeast Portland was predominantly black.
What school did you go to?
I went to Grand High School.
Grand High School,
but
great
also
school.
Back up, I went mm-hmm. to Martin Luther King Junior School when I was in
okay.
sixth grade.
Okay.
And Sabin Elementary, mm-hmm. Grand High School, yes. Clackamas Community College, took some courses throughout, you know, a bunch of universities.
And so those schools were center part of the African-American community at that time.
That's correct.
And a lot of people think that, let me back up a little bit. A lot of people think that there wasn't that deep of a contribution to the community. But when you look at things like there was the Elks Club, which
yes.
has been renovated, is still going
yes,
on.
Yes.
There was the Cleo Willis, I believe.
Cleo's.
I remember. Oh, I'm getting it mixed up with the park. Oh. Albina Willis. There we go.
Yeah.
Lillis.
There
Albina
we park.
Go.
There you go.
Come
yeah.
on, brain.
Yeah.
But I remember going to Cleo's and catching some really good shows, and it was a thriving community. And folks wanted to show that just because there had been this impact of crime in the city didn't mean that there was nothing ever good coming out of the community.
Right.
We had one of the, and I say we like I grew up here, but we had one of the most popular blues and jazz and R&B venues on the entire West Coast.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I can remember like late 70s, early 80s, growing up here in Portland was the number one city to live in the whole United States. Mm-hmm. And to my understanding right now, it's probably the sixth most desirable city to live in the United States. But a function like this doesn't see color. We see multicolor, multicultural, and we want everybody to be a part of it and associated with it. Also, although this is the 25th anniversary for the Good and Hood, we're putting on a 3-on-3 basketball tournament for the youth, 12 to 17 years old. It'll run Saturday and Sunday, the 24th and 25th. I'm encouraging ages 12 through 17 to get involved with that. It's just another part of the Good and Hood, along with the entertainment, the food, the exhibitors, the sponsors, and stuff like that.
How might people become involved, or where can they find information?
Well, you can always visit our website, goodandhood.org, mm-hmm. or you can call our office, 503-388-9030, to get information and to sign up. Also, WE96.3 and 95.5, they have a website where you can go and sign up, too, because they're advertising
yes.
on the air as we speak. And I've been personally out in the community, all the surrounding cities, passing out literature and information about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a trial and error basis because it is the first year, but as successful as the Good and Hood is, the tournament's going to be successful also.
We know it will. And yeah. KBOO's been a sponsor, and we've broadcast from there. So we're invested in keeping our community jewels strong. We do have someone who has been patiently waiting for an opportunity to talk. Good morning, Daniel. You're on there.
Yeah, hi. Good morning to you all. And let me say, I've been lucky enough to be a guest on this program with Cecil when you were absent, Celeste. I am the guy who wrote an investigation about the theft of Mount Zion Baptist Church, and Cecil very kindly had me on to discuss
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I remember how you had detailed how the basically the property and the rights to any redress had been removed. Yeah. So, have you had a chance to be involved with anything like the Juneteenth or Good in the Hood as one of our historians?
That's why I'm calling.
Sure.
I have young sons, and the last 2 years we have been, all three of us, myself and my two kids, have been happy to accompany the KBOO furry van. They think it's great. They get to
yes, the furry boo van.
We march along. So here's my question. Pardon me if you discuss this because I tuned in late, but I plan to march along myself. My question is, my kids are obviously my life to me. Is it safe for my kids to march along visibly in the parade given that horrible threat?
I will tell you this. When I first got the message of the letter, and I read the message because my brother texted to me at 3 o'clock in the morning, it brought tears to my eyes, to be honest with you, because we've never experienced.
It's horrible.
Yeah,
horrible.
It was horrible. We've never experienced anything like that, and I took the threat personal. I took it as a threat to the community, as a threat to the police department, as a threat to everybody involved that's part of the Good in Hood. Since that letter, we have met multiple times with the city leaders and the local police department, and they've come up with a plan to protect the event, the parade, and the park. I will tell you that the Portland Police Department and local forces will be there, FBI, hopefully the U.S. Marshals. And it's funny that it takes something like this to for people to come together, because the local gang task force, my partner's name is Chicken. We call him Chicken, mm-hmm. but Andre Ware, DeMarcus Ware, excuse me. He has brought together some gang members or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. you want to call it that, maybe were against one another. But they're teaming up to secure the park. So I will tell you, sir, that I personally think that we will be safe from the beginning, the parade, the kickoff party, the parade, and then the festival running for those 3 days. God, he works in mysterious ways, but I feel we have the support of, and since this has happened, we've gotten an overwhelming support throughout the country and mm-hmm. the world, as a matter of fact. You know, this is nothing to take light, and I think we'll be very well secured when it comes to the parade.
Well, and one thing, too, I want to say, caller, is, remember this, and your work in the community, as you mentioned earlier, is an important part of this. What we're trying to do is showcase the goodness of people coming together,
right.
All different folks coming together. And the people who have threatened this really are misguided because they're missing the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
This is not an effort to do anything against anyone. This is an effort to
right.
celebrate all of us doing the best we can.
Right.
Okay. May I say one thing and I'll let you go. I plan to march. I am proud to represent KBOO. I'm a member. KBOO is a absolute resource. I will have to discuss with my wife whether my children will accompany me or not.
And that's understood.
But I will be there, and let's all carry on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to KBOO. This is More Talk Radio. My name is Cecil Prescott. I'm here with
Celeste Carey
and
we're
Avery
here
Penny
with Avery. Yeah. And one of the things I want to say too is a couple of weeks or so ago when Cecil and I were looking at what we wanted to do, and we kind of joked about, this being Juneteenth, and we, now that we have become elder spokespeople, we sometimes take off our holidays. We wanted to have both Good in the Hood and Juneteenth celebration on. And then you got that communication.
Yes.
And we were definitely then wanting to have it on because one of the things that I, again, want to emphasize is that in the face of a gentrifying community, what Good in the Hood does is keep us focused on the brilliance and the bravery and the wonderful contributions that have come out of the Black community here in Portland, and to celebrate how there has been bridges built, you know.
Yes.
And Good in the Hood has always had an attitude of unification, because he didn't want people within the Black community feeling that they had to take sides. You know, it was like, no, let us sit down as family, as friends and neighbors, and get together.
That's
and
right.
Celebrate and try to keep our positive energy going. If you're curious about how you can fit in, or just, you know, a little bit more about the richness of the history of the Good in the Hood, give us a call, 503-231-8187, and we'll go to LJ. Thanks for holding.
Oh, nothing to it. How are you guys?
Fine, thank
it's
you.
Sunshine. I'm good.
All right. Me too. It's going to be 90 degrees.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I heard a story on cable, I think it was last week, that I found rather disturbing. And I don't know whether I heard this right or not. But were there death threats made against the organizer of Good in the Hood?
Yes. Let me. my name is Avery Penny.
Hi, Avery.
Hi. How are you today?
I am really good. But like Avery, I really find this to be rather disheartening. That a community event who involves all of the communities of like Portland. You know, we like to stand in solidarity with each other, and my feeling is, Avery, that once one of us are threatened, all of us are threatened.
That's correct. So, yeah, we did receive a letter, and the letter was very disturbing. It was a threat to the community, mm-hmm. a threat to my brother and his family, mm-hmm. which is my family.
Right.
And a slap in the face, I think, to the whole community, especially when you're trying to you know, have a multicultural event that brings people of all ethnic backgrounds together. But we did not take the letter lightly. You know, we took it very seriously. And that's why, you know, we're going to make sure that this event, you know, we could have just said, no, we're not going to have it. But if we would have done that, then Mm-mm. whoever sent the letter out, they would have won.
They would have won.
You know, plus not Absolutely. To mention, we're trying to do something positive, you know, for the community, to bring the community together and be successful and have the next 26th anniversary next year.
All right. So now, the reason I sound like a white guy is because I am a white guy.
No.
I couldn't tell because I'm African-American. A lot of people say I sound like a Caucasian person or whatever, you know, but
yes,
that doesn't
do.
Really matter. I can't see your face. You can't see mine. You sound like a good young gentleman.
Thank you for the compliment, but I have 80 years old breathing.
Well, that's 80 years old of wiseness. That's all it is. You're not getting any older. You just gotten a lot wiser,
really?
Sir.
Okay. So, and anyway, what I'm asking people to do is please show up in big numbers at Good in the Hood. Please open your hearts. Please bring your love, and we need to show the brown shirts once and for all that they are not going to divide us, and we will stand together in solidarity, and and together this community can defeat the brown shirts that have invaded us. So anyway, I will make every effort to be there on Saturday, and keep on keeping on. It's all good in the hood.
Thank you so much, sir, for those words of wisdom and kindness. And please join us. And I encourage everyone to come out and enjoy the parade and all the festivities that we have going on this weekend.
So, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, LJ. So Avery, I imagine that putting on an event like this takes a lot of work and a lot of people involved.
Yes, we have a strong committee and board members that volunteer their time all year round to organize this major event, so there's a lot of hard work involved. For instance, like I was telling you earlier, last year we had 7 vendors. This year we have 25 vendors, which I'm in charge of the vendor section, and I've been just up all night, doing all kind of things, trying to promote it and get people to sign up for the Good and Hood. So there is a lot of work, and it's a lot of good people that organize the Good and Hood. Mm-hmm. And, just because it's an event, it had to be organized by somebody. Right.
Yep.
It doesn't just sprout out of the ground. People are organizing on our committee and board as we speak right now. They're doing something because we're getting down to the final.
Getting down to the wire.
Today's Monday. The Good mm-hmm. starts Friday.
Yes. So what about the parade? Is it going to take its usual route? Have you decided to expand it a little bit? And are there going to be horses?
We're not going to do anything different. It's going to take the same route. Starts at Dr. Martin Luther King mm-hmm. grade school. Mm-hmm. And it goes down MLK. And then goes over into Russell Street and to mm-hmm. Little South Bynum Park. So right. we're not going to do anything different. Parade starts at 11 o'clock. 1 o'clock, and as soon as the parade is over, mm-hmm. people are going to start flooding into the park,
right,
to enjoy the food festival and entertainment and vendors of all over.
And speaking of the parade itself, it includes.
You didn't say there was going to be horses. I'm sorry, Cecil. I just realized that I didn't hear anything about horses. No horses.
There may or may not be. I don't know.
Somebody bring horses. Yeah.
But they need to. Because I remember when I was growing up, there was horses all over the place. And that was when community policing was there. And, we would go up and pet the horses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So if they're going to be there, I welcome them. Okay.
Kids, I'm sorry. I'm a big kid. Yes. And, Cecil, I'm sorry. But if there's no dogs and ponies, I'm upset.
Well, just Thank as long as someone cleans up behind the dogs and
That's
ponies.
That's right.
Well, if I have to.
Okay. But there are a lot of different peoples and groups in the parade.
Correct.
I know that's not your organizing.
From our last meeting, I think there's going to be 25 to 30, people, groups in the parade, and maybe by now a lot more.
Right.
Is it too late to be involved?
No, it's not too late.
Somebody get involved?
Just call the Good in the Hood organization or visit our website.
Mm-hmm. And tell Celeste if you're going to bring a horse.
Yeah, and tell Celeste if you're going to bring a horse.
Well, if you're going to bring a horse and you're calling me, you better have a shovel and a bucket. I'll do my part, but I want to ride and I'll do my part.
Right. So we're continuing our conversation with Avery Penny.
Penny, yes.
Of Good in the Hood. Let's go to our next caller. James, good morning.
Good morning, James.
Good morning. This is just a quick comment just to address the caller before who had a call asking about the safety of his kids being at this event, I just wanted to say to that guy, too, I don't know if you guys said anything, and I don't know, maybe this might come off a little harsh, but, if we're going to really talk about solidarity and being together as a community, it's understanding that there truly are no guaranteed safe places for people of color. So if we're going to stand together, then we all got to be unafraid and be of the same, mindset that, if we're going to stand with our, black and brown brothers and sisters, and we have to understand that we're also putting ourselves in harm's way. But that's the price we pay.
I would tell you this, it doesn't matter if you are a person of color. If something's going to happen to you, it's going to happen regardless of what color you're at and wherever you're at.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, I feel it's going to be safe for those of multicultural ethnic backgrounds, as well as, if you're Caucasian or whatever, Jew or whatever, And mm-hmm. that's why we're trying to bring people together and not really worry about that. We're all in this world together to be successful, take care of our families, and stay out of trouble and have fun and be just united as a group. It doesn't matter what color you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally feel you, man. No, I'm not saying that to dis. I'm just, it's just more like my, that was my thought.
Yes.
Well, yeah, and it's good to think, you know, in terms of be aware of the risk. Now, I can support the caller, though, earlier, because you want to make an informed decision. And, you know, your youngsters are not of that age yet where they make that informed decision and take that risk. But but I do thank you for reminding us that it's the solidarity that is our point. You know, of coming together. And we hope to see you there.
Oh, I will be there.
Please attend. Okay. Bring your family with you also and your friends too, sir.
Yes. Bring a musical instrument to jam.
Speaking of, before we go to the next call, speaking of music, there will also be entertainment. You mentioned the Andy Stokes Band.
Yes, mm-hmm. They'll be performing Friday night for the free concert. And it's open to the public to come out and enjoy the music. But we'll have different type of groups planned throughout the weekend.
Throughout the weekend.
Ended up on with our gospel songs and stuff like that. And
oh, good.
And bands and stuff like that on Sunday. So,
you know any of the groups that are going to be performing?
I do, but, you know, not right offhand.
Okay, that's okay.
But
that's all right.
That's not my category or whatever.
You're in charge of the food.
The food court and the 3-on-3 basketball.
Okay. And there will be barbecue, right?
And there will be barbecue. Yes, sir.
So Cecil is trying to make sure the food is covered. I want to make sure we got the horses. Now, one of the things that I'm really curious about is will there be arts and crafts or anything sold like that?
Yeah, there will be vendors that, you know, like I said, it's multicultural music and arts festival.
Okay.
You know, so there will be vendors out there with their products to, you know, pass on the literature to the community.
Okay.
So I encourage everyone to come out and enjoy everything that's going on this weekend.
Okay.
Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. And we'll go to Robert.
Good morning.
Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Mr. Penny, Cecil, and Celeste. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning,
good morning,
Robert.
Sir.
Hey.
So
hey,
you bringing some of your good Caribbean food, Robert?
No, I'm in the K-Boo booth.
All right.
And I like to spread some dollars to the vendors.
All right.
But you're right, Celeste. We got to work on the Caribbean food, and we got to work on a reggae band.
That's a good suggestion.
Yes.
That's a good suggestion. We do also have bands coming down from Seattle, I do believe. And
like
throughout the Pacific Northwest.
Well, Brother Bob, you got to bring us some reggae so we can get really irie.
Okay, 2018 is coming. It's coming. I got to get on the board. One thing that I really like about Good in the Hood is that, you know, it is our neighborhood. It is our hood. It is our event. And I like how, you know, it's us. You know, it's not a paid event. You know, it's free, right, sir?
Correct. It's free. Yes, sir.
Free. And I like that. Cecil, big up. Good for you for barbecue. Celeste, I hope you get your horses. I hope the horses show up. And I really like a couple of years ago when they tried to, when I think it was some of the sponsors, they wanted to change the name, and they did for a year or two, to Good in the Neighborhood versus Good in the Hood. Could you speak a little bit about that? And I'll take it off the air. I love K-Boo.
All righty. Thanks for your call. Good question.
Well, Good in the Neighborhood, from what they called it, was, it sounds like it's just for, you know, the neighborhood. But I say to be part of Good in the Hood, and if you know anything about growing up in the hood or even in Northeast Portland, it was all good and still all good in the hood. You know, and I think the importance of the name of Good in the Hood is to bring everybody together from the Northeast area and the surrounding area. And make it a successful event. You know, it's just all good in the hood. And it's going to be good in the hood these 3 days. So I encourage people to attend without fear. Come and enjoy the music, arts, mm-hmm. festival, and food also.
I think part of that point about the name change that Robert was speaking about may have been an attempt to either de-emphasize the event or make it more palatable for more people.
Without really understanding, I
and,
think.
And right. I think it's important to reclaim that title as you have done,
right.
Because it's affirming
right.
Our history, our communities, and who we are as people.
Right. I think, you know, that mm-hmm. old saying, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Right.
So, you know,
good
in the neighborhood
understood.
Doesn't even sound good. Yeah. You know, to me, good in the hood sounds like it's good in the hood. So there's no reason to change the name.
Well, it's from the Black experience.
Yes.
And, you know, you can't, okay, I'm just going to break it down. You can't whitewash that. You know, what we're doing is we're not just celebrating the Black contributions. We're celebrating, again, as you said earlier, that whole bridge building thing. And there are some events you really want to acknowledge where they came from.
Right.
Because, again, and I just want to say it and say it and say it, this is a positive experience. In the face of a lot of really negative challenges that were coming into the community at the time, folks got together and said, we can beat this.
Yes.
We can beat this. And so I'm with Cecil on reclaiming the name. You know, just because it's hood doesn't mean it is automatically associated with crime.
Correct.
Or poverty or gang presence.
Correct.
You know, it's just a way of a culture, a group identifying the environment they live in. Everybody has a way of describing the
right.
neighborhood
exactly.
and where they're from. I mean, if you're from Vancouver and you call it Couve,
right.
do people get upset because it's not
most
being
definitely.
Called Vancouver?
Yes, yes,
you
definitely.
Know, and it's just your affectionate way of identifying where you're from.
Right.
You know, and I'm like Cecil. Let us remember, let us pull the positive out.
Right.
And thanks for the calls. We got another caller on the line. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Mike.
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to say that, you know, with gentrification and that type of thing, these people right now have tried to eliminate or nullify the Black experience in Northeast Portland. And I know that back in the day, white folks are scared to come over in Northeast Portland.
It's That's
a different
right.
kind of, it's a different kind of Black people, man, that occupy Northeast Portland now than used to. And
okay, now what do you mean when you say that? Because, you know, I'm sitting here right across from Avery, who told me he grew up, and he's thinking, I think I'm still in the hood.
Right.
So what do you mean when you say that?
Well, what I mean that when I was over in Northeast Portland, white people only basically, the only white people who live in Northeast Portland was basically real, real poor whites, you know, more like hillbilly types. And white folks only, when they came to Northeast Portland, they rolled their windows up. They only
yeah.
came over there on Sundays. So it was a different kind of Black people that occupied Northeast Portland then than the kind that occupied Northeast Portland now. That's all I'm saying, and that's why white people or some white folks have the audacity now to tell Black people they can't even celebrate in their own neighborhood because they don't have no fear about the new Black people that's over there. That's all I'm trying to say.
So right, I understand. Like I said, you know, before growing up in Northeast Portland, which was predominantly Black at that particular time, but there's always been people of different colors that lived in Northeast Portland. I think one reason is you think or people say it's a different type of people that live over there now. The community organizers have made it tough financially for a lot of African Americans. You know, I can remember back in the day, a two-bedroom apartment, you can get a two-bedroom apartment for $450 or cheaper. Mm-hmm. Now you try to get one, it's you could be up to $2,000 or whatever they want to charge.
Easily.
So there is a different type of person, you know, but it takes strong individuals to stay in Northeast Portland. You know, it's a city, it's a beautiful city, and African Americans need to continue to live there as well as other ethnic backgrounds too.
Thank you, Mike.
Yes, thank you for your call.
For listeners who have turned on the radio later, tell us about the event, what's going to happen, where, and how much it costs.
Okay, actually, Good and the Hood is a multicultural music, arts, and food festival. We're celebrating our 25th years of keeping unity within the community. It's the largest multicultural festival in the Pacific Northwest. It runs June 23rd through the 27th. Our kickoff party is Friday, June 23rd, 5 o'clock to 1 in the morning. Then we'll have our parade Saturday from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock, and then we'll filter into Lillis Ivana Park, which is off of Flint and Russell Street, and that runs until 10 or 11 o'clock. And then Sunday, the festival will continue with music and arts and food and stuff like that, and we'll be going until about 11 o'clock or so. So we encourage everyone to attend this year's event. Like I said, last year we gave out over 5 scholarships throughout the community, and so we look to give out more. We're also having our first annual 3-on-3 basketball tournament there. I encourage the youth 12 to 17 to come out and participate, where we'll have prizes for each team, trophies and certificates. And Michael Jordan is sponsoring, so you might get some Air Jordans. You never know.
Never know.
Never know.
Never know.
You know, but if you have any questions or if you want to become a sponsor of the Good and the Hood Multicultural Fest, please visit our website. We're asking for, you know, donations. It is a nonprofit organization, which we have over 25 bona fide vendors, and we want to serve the community and have a good time and bring everybody together this weekend.
You know, I think what might be interesting listening to you talk about some of the vendors and knowing that to build strong ties in changing communities, you want to engage everyone. I'm thinking that it's time, number one, that we have some broadening of that 3-on-3 basketball concept, and maybe have like the women have their basketball, maybe the older folks have their basketball, maybe have a little 3-on-3 soccer or something,
right.
You know, just kind of broaden it. And so if you're trying to figure out a way that you can be involved in it, think in terms of bringing in other demographics, folks. I mean, if you've got a family and you've got a bunch of daughters who are jocks, they may want to play ball or they may want to do something else. Broaden it. Bring your creativity and help build some bridges and strengthen up our whole celebration of what's good in the hood.
Because
it's funny you say that because, you know, my brother and I, Sean and I, we've been kind of talking within the last week or so about having the event. I love the Lillis Ivana Park, and I really appreciate the district and them letting us have the function there. But I think our goal is to take the function to a larger park, you know, where there's multiple basketball courts, plenty more space for the vendors and stuff like that to set up the entertainment and food vendors. So I think the goal is there, and I would be honored to, you know, run a tournament for women, the young youth, the elderly. Heck, if I could get out there and play, I probably would. But I think that's
well, see,
goal.
That, you know, at our age, we don't do so much the run, but we could do the jump and
that's
shoot.
Right. Yes.
We could do the long distance shoot.
The long, yes, three-pointer. That's correct.
Yep.
Yes.
But I also want to affirm, first, this is the first year you're doing the 3-on-3 tournament.
Correct.
And it says youth ages 12 to 17. You could be boys or girls, right?
Right. And we plan on dividing those.
Thanks for
although
clarifying
it's 12 to 17, you know, we'll go 12 to 14 and 15 to 17, kind of mix it up. That way the 17-year-olds won't be beating up on the 12-year-olds.
Right.
You know, so, but hopefully we'll get, you know, teams of those ages together where they'll be competitive. But my thing about that, when I was growing up playing basketball, I played against older players.
Right.
And that's the only thing to get good at.
Well, and that's, you know, like us, a lot of us females, that's how we got our skills too, is playing against the guys.
Right.
Especially if all you have is brothers.
That's right. It's like growing up and your grandmother's talking to you and she knows everything that she's talking about, and then your grandmother passes away and now you're sitting in this world and everything that she told you is true.
Yeah.
So that's the same analogy with playing against older players. Right. You're going to get good at it if you do.
Yeah. So let me go something, because you talked about expanding beyond the current park, Ivana Lillis Park. Is that where it first started? Or no, talk a little bit about where it first started.
From my recollection, you know, when it first started, it started King School.
Yeah. So it was just at the King School in that little park area.
Right,
there.
That little park area. And then as the years got bigger, you know, they decided to add the parade on and then take it to another park.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, it's been at King, it was at King School, I think, about 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the 25th anniversary, and we're expecting actually about 25,000 to 30,000 people there.
All right.
You know, at the Good in the Hood. So, we've come a long way, and, you know, with all the people attending, we had to move it to another location.
Well, who knows? Maybe you'll have it at multiple locations as you get bigger and as more of the good in the hood percolates to the surface.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
You mentioned that this is a committee of volunteers, and that I imagine it's a year-long process.
Correct.
I also would like you just to emphasize, I know you're being modest in terms of sponsorship and your accepting donations to make sure that an event like this continues.
Correct. Well, yeah, it is, you know, is ran by volunteers throughout the community and the board members, and we do encourage people to go to our website, goodinthehood.org, to donate and be a part of the Good in the Hood experience. And I think we should take this a little bit further. Just because it's Good in the Hood here, it can be Good in the Hood in other places too.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to maybe try to set the foundation, you know, countrywide and major cities that have a huge population of African Americans, so they can bring their people together.
Right.
You know, for sure. Yes.
So how will you know, come late Sunday evening, how would you know if the event was successful?
I will know if, like I've always done on Sunday, you know, by experiencing Friday, Saturday, ended up on Sunday. You know, if I see that everybody's in the park dancing, everyone's in the park enjoying food, the basketball tournament is going good, you know, everyone has a smile on their face.
And there's a pile of rib bones in the
yeah,
corner.
Yeah, barbecue in the garbage or whatever. Yes, I mean, but, you know, I'll know Friday and Saturday. I'll know each day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, let's take one last caller. Chris, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to say I have participated in Good in the Hood in the parade through the Portland Teachers Program, and I don't know if PTP is going to be represented in the parade this year, but I plan to attend with myself and my family, and I just have some really fond memories of being able to pass out books to folks in the parade and just reaching out and connecting with the community. And I'm just so glad that we have something like Good in the Hood. So I just wanted to say thank you for persevering all these years. And despite the obstacles that you faced this year, to continue to push through. I really don't know what this city would be without Good in the Hood. So I really thank you, and I look forward to attending this weekend.
Well, thank you, Chris. And I encourage all of the Portland Teachers Association workers to attend with their families and stuff like that. I really appreciate you saying that about our function and wanting to be a part and been a part of the community.
Absolutely, and I'll be reaching out to PTP to see if we're in it or not, because I think this is an important year for a number of reasons for us to just step up and be together. So,
that's correct.
If we're not in the parade already, I'm going to see if we can make it happen.
That sounds good, Chris. I really appreciate it, sir. Thank you so much.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, KBOO is going to be part of Good in the Hood. That's one of the ways that I've been involved. I used to work at out of the Northeast Coalition office, and so we also were involved with Good in the Hood. It has deep roots here in the city, and if you really value the beautiful things of Portland, come support Good in the Hood. Be a part of not just Good in the Hood or Juneteenth celebration, but look at all of the community celebrations we have here in the city, and put down some deep roots. Be a part of it. Make it all good.
And one last thing, if you want to be a part of the Good in the Hood by donating your time as a volunteer, please visit our website. We're asking, encouraging people to come out and participate. and volunteer some of their time and experience this this historical movement. Again, my name is Avery Penny with The Good in the Hood. It's been a pleasure talking to everybody today.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you here. And also having our people's family here to remember and remind us of the strength of Juneteenth. Stay tuned to Your Community Connection.
OMO Friday Hour at 9 at 10, Air Cascadia, 10:15, Locus Focus with Barbara Bernstein. 11, On the Ground Radio presents Principles of a Pluralist Commonwealth. Thanks, Cable Member, for your generous support. I'm Cecil Prescott.
I'm Celeste Carey, and be on the lookout for the fuzzy blue boo van.
Good morning. You're listening to 90.7 KBOO Portland. It's 8:59. The Olmo Variety Hour is next. They're going to be talking about climate justice, why we can only save ourselves if we save the planet, how the Richmond Progressive Alliance won political power, reflections on U.S. history and prospects for a new revolution, and a review of the novel Do Not Be Alarmed. That's up next. At 10:15, Locus Focus with Barbara Bernstein. She'll talk about Dan Egan, who will return to discuss his book, The Death and Life of the Great Lakes. At 11, On the Ground Radio presents Principles of a Pluralist Commonwealth, a new free handbook that can be a model for a real democracy. Plus, activists protest the Dollar Tree for continuing to sell toxic products to the public. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a member, please become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. It's 8:59.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is also available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Board meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The KBOO Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month, starting at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Avenue Q, produced by Triangle Productions. The play runs from June 8th through July 1st at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza in Portland. Avenue Q is a musical that tells the story of Princeton, a recent college grad who moves into a shabby New York apartment and meets other residents.